You know, pain is alone someplace. I don't have to tell you, do I? It'll drop a rock in your stomach, right through your pounding heart. And when your knees are so weak, you hit the ground, and you finally realize you don't got this. Well, now you might just make it. You see, the tallest tree may not weather the storm, but its roots do. So dig in, stand up, and let the wind blow. Because there's hope.
And welcome to another Outlet at Home experience. I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community Church, and I am so honored to join you wherever you are in the world today. If it's your first time watching an Outlet experience or listening to an Outlet experience, let us know. We would love to just follow up with you and just thank you for investing a portion of your time into what we believe will enrich the quality of your life. Today, we're starting a brand new series that has been on my heart for some time. I've been praying for you. I've been asking the Lord, how can I speak directly to what's going on in your world? Over the last year, so much has happened. And even prior to this last year, life has been going on since we've taken our first breath. And I want to take the few weeks that we have leading up to Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday during what's known as the Lenten season to introduce you to a fresh picture of Jesus Christ. One thing that I've realized in my conversations with our various congregation members throughout our community and throughout the various inboxes that I receive on a weekly basis is that our faith is under attack. Our beliefs are under attack. Our desires are under attack. In fact, we're at times under attack. Many people are dealing with the fights of their life and don't know which way is out. Some of us are dealing with hopeless situations, but I believe that over the next couple of weeks as we're talking about this particular series, my prayer is that God will strengthen your heart, that hope will rise, that joy will fill your everyday life. And we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks on what to do when your faith is shaken and you have doubts. Let's get real. And let's get honest that there are moments in our life with all the word that we know that we have some questions. God, we need some answers. God, we need to hear from you. And I want to give you a roadmap that I pray that you will take notes and place in areas of your house, your life, that when your faith is under attack, you'll have a guide and a map to help anchor you when the storms of life come your way. And if you would, join me in the book of Mark, chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 24 as our opening text on today in part one of what to do when your faith is shaken and you have Mark chapter 9, verse 17, it says, "One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, 'Teacher, I brought my son so that you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever his spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it.' Jesus said to them, 'You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me.' So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth." "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father, and he replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Let's hone in here. Jesus responded. He said, "What do you mean, if I can?" anything is possible if a person believes. Verse 24, I believe, is the realest statement that anyone could ever own up to. The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I'm asking you during this series where we're helping those who may be dealing with faith that has come under attack, faith that is shaken, and doubts are real, doubts are present. Lord, I'm asking you in this time to reveal yourself. Show us an accurate estimation of where we are in the process of our life. But most importantly, God, let us see your salvation. Let us see your power, rescue, deliver, set free those who are under attack. We're trusting in you, Lord, during this series, in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. As we go back to our opening text, there are a couple things that I want to have us examine during our time together. The first thing, if you look in verses 17 and 18, the father said that, "Lord, I brought the son to you, yet he said, I took him to your disciples." And it caused me to pause for a moment as I was looking inside the text and see how often do we go to people thinking that we're going to God. Now, let's break this down into real-time conversation. Someone that we believe in, someone that we know is a spirit-filled person, a person who is wise and understands the word of God, someone in a position such as mine as a pastor of a church, many times people will come to us before they ever directly go to God, believing that, listen, you've got the relationship with the man, so how about you talk to the man on my behalf and see what he says? And in this moment, it created a problem because as the father went to the disciples thinking he was going to Christ, nothing took place. And that is a reminder today for all of us that no matter what happens in our life and no matter what we do, if we don't go to Jesus Christ, we're not going to the answer. You see, under this new covenant that we live in, we don't have to wait for the anointed man or woman of God to speak before we hear what God says concerning our life. But if we've been raised in a culture, which this gentleman was, where in order to speak to God, you had to go to someone who represented God, then he missed out on the power that was available to help him in a situation. The reason why he had this idea, as we can extrapolate from the text, John chapter 9, there was a similar moment where when someone who was afflicted from birth was having an ailment, the disciples asked Jesus, you know, who sinned? Was it the father? Was it the mother? Was it someone in his family that this person born from birth had ailments? In that time, they believed that the curse causeless didn't come. What that means is they thought that if something negative happened in my life, then that meant that somewhere down the road or somewhere in the lineage of my life, someone messed up and I was now experiencing the consequences for something that I had no responsibility or no part to play in. And according to the Old Testament, at times that was the truth. There were times where families brought upon curses to their entire households. Families brought upon curses throughout their entire legacy. But what Jesus came to introduce to us is that in the same way in the Old Testament, when people brought upon curses that they had no part of, Jesus was here so that we could be part of a blessing that we had no part in as well. But hearing all of these things and knowing that because of Jesus that we have a blessing, Jesus is the one who has the power, it does not negate the fact that I am currently dealing with a current situation that is causing my faith to be shaken to its core. Now, this man, this individual, he had a son who was dealing with a childhood trauma, or if you and I were to substitute ourselves, it's dealing with something that's been going on in our lives for as long as we could remember. And sometimes when we're reminded of what's going on in our life that's been happening since before we could remember, we believe that if it's always been wrong, then it's always going to stay wrong because I don't remember when it was right. And that moment and those times cause and they weaken our faith in who God is. You see, the Father, he was honest. He knew that the person that he needed to get to was Jesus, but he didn't know if Jesus wanted to perform the very thing that he had a desire for. You see, over a period of time in our life, when seems like year after year after year after year goes by, and the very thing that we believe for, we don't see. The fact that it hasn't manifested causes us to doubt whether or not it's God's will for our life that it is to be so. So when the Father goes to Jesus, he simply asks him, like, Lord, I've heard for someone else that you're the one to heal. But if you're able, maybe you're not able or maybe you're not willing. Jesus replies and says, if I can, listen, sir. If you believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. But the Father, and as I was reading this text, I actually put myself in the shoes of this Father. Because I've been there where I'm like, Lord, I hear what your word says, where in Philippians 4:19, you said that all my needs are met with an abundance beside, but today, Lord, there's nothing in my bank account. I hear what your word says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 that says that by his stripes we were healed. I hear what you're saying, but right now I'm battling an ailment and an illness in my life. So how can it be, God? Well, you're asking me to have more faith, but I'm not seeing the result of where I believe I have faith in. The Father was honest. He said, Lord, in verse 24, I do believe, and I want you to notice these Greek words that I'm going to break down, and we're going to see these throughout the entire message, so please take some notes here. The Father said, I do believe. The word believe there is pisto, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, pisto. He said, I do believe, I do pisto. The word pisto means the source of faith. Well, the Father was in essence saying in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, is that I believe, Jesus, you are the source of faith. If we were to break it down into our vernacular, he's saying, Jesus, I believe that you're the answer. There is no other way. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the one that has all power in your hand. The enemy is under your feet. All authority has been given to you that you then gave to your disciples. I believe that when we say your name, demons have to tremble, demons have to flee, things have to change. I believe all that. I've got that. And how many of you all have been there where you've been in the Word for so long that you can quote scriptures, but you're not seeing the very thing that you're quoting? So then it brings to us a reality that we live, where it's not that I don't believe, but I need you to help me with this word called unbelief. Now, on the surface, if we're just using the English language, it looks like, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. It means it's the opposite of belief, but that's not what that word unbelief means. So as I said in verse 24, when the Father says, I do believe, I do pisto, I do believe that you are the source, he said, but help me overcome my unbelief. The Greek word there is apistia, which simply means the negative thoughts that come as a result of natural circumstances. Come on, hear me. Let's get real. The Father is saying that I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the answer. But at the same time, I'm going to need some help for you to help me get rid of the negative thoughts that I have because of what I'm watching right now in my life. I don't know if you all have been there where it's like, God, I want to trust you. God, I want to believe what you're saying. But it's been so long that I have a hard time accepting that you want to do this for me. And so what Jesus is trying to introduce to this person, that the what guarantees a manifestation is you believing in the source. But Jesus said, I guarantee my presence to you to help you work through the doubts that you have in your natural circumstance. Go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. So here's the reality. We live in a dual world where we understand the truth of God's word, but we have some questions about what we're seeing in our natural life. Some of us have been standing in faith for a spouse. We've been standing in faith for a breakthrough. We've been standing in faith for a business. We've been standing in faith for the glass ceiling to be broken. But the reality is that we're still single. We're still working the same job. We still have to take the same pills, the same medicine. So God, if this word is true, then why am I not seeing it? Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. And if I had to subtitle this message of what to do when your faith is shaken and you have doubts, the subtitle would be Expecting the Unexpected. Expecting the Unexpected. You see, in the natural, when we tell someone to expect the unexpected, naturally we're thinking that watch the other shoe to fall. It's like, I understand you're believing something, but watch out for what's coming next. But I want to introduce a new way, a new perspective of listening to expecting the unexpected. I want you to expect God to continue loving you even when you don't expect him to love you, regardless as to how you feel in your life. That's expecting the unexpected. This love that God lavishes on us in Romans chapter 8, a background in the book of Romans. Romans is a beautiful treatise on the grace of God. It's a beautiful comparison and summary of what does it mean to live according to the law, but now also what does it mean that when Christ came, we can now live according to the Spirit. It's a beautiful legal rendering of why the grace of God is real. And I can't wait in the coming weeks to delve more into understanding how to practically live in God's grace. And in Romans chapter 8, the top part, he talks about this is the life that you can now expect that you're in Christ Jesus. So you've left one way of living and now you're free from condemnation. Come on, that should be good news for some people who are watching today. I don't know about you, but I haven't been perfect my entire life. And I'm sure glad that God didn't base his blessing or his love based on how good I was or was not. And it should encourage you. I know Satan tries to throw things in the back of your mind that if you would have done this better and you would have done that better, then God would have been better to you. You might not be dealing with what you're dealing with right now. I want to talk to somebody right now that I've seen times in my life and even this year that even when I've messed up, God was there to rescue me. God was there to pick me up. God was there to clean me off. Now, there were some consequences that I experienced, but he didn't leave me to be without hope and without a cause and without a promise and without a friend and without someone to be there for me. And so Paul is saying, now there is no condemnation. So if you are walking around with the weight of your mistakes on top of your back, I want to let you know that right now there is no condemnation to those who walk and live according to the Spirit of God. He goes on in verse 28 and says that all the things that have happened in your life won't be wasted, and God will use all of the good, and he'll use all of the bad. He'll use all of the great things. He'll use all of the disappointments. He'll use all of the elated moments, and he'll use all of the broken heart times to bring them together and to work about the good in your life. You see, you've got to hold on long enough to take what was bad to see that it will be good. And I want to talk to somebody who's on the verge of quitting and letting it go and saying that I don't want any parts of this. You haven't got to the end of your story just yet. And so in that, in verse 31, Paul then says, if God be for you, then who can be against you? Who can lay a charge to someone that God has said is not guilty? I don't care if there has been evidence. I don't care if they've caught you on tape. I don't care if you can replay the mistakes that you made in your life. God is saying that if I'm the one who's backing you up, if I'm the one who's on your side, if I'm the one who's called you, if I'm the one who's placed you where I placed you, if I'm the one who's sending you where I'm sending you, if I'm the one who's taking you where I'm taking you, then no one can come against that. But Paul has to remind us of the reality of this life in grace. You see, this life in grace doesn't mean it doesn't come without a fight. This life in grace doesn't mean that it's going to manifest without opposition. But Paul also wrote in Corinthians that we should not be ignorant of the enemy's tactics, his devices, his schemes. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, let me show you why you're under the attack that you are. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, in the first part of that verse, it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? You see, the overarching mission of every conflict, every trial, every test that you face is to try to separate you from how much God loves you. Everything that goes on in your life apart from the Word of God, its only mission is to tell you that God does not love you in that. You see, Paul also wrote in Galatians 5 and 6, he says, but it's faith that works by love. So if I bring everything that we've read together in Mark chapter 9 and Romans 8:35, that one sentence, and the reference I just made in Galatians 5, 6, if you remember what the Father was saying, since my son was a child, I don't question that you are God. And that's where a lot of our Christian living is now. We don't question that he's God. But the question comes in, but do you love me in this? Do you care about my life now? Do you care about what I care about? Am I wrong for caring about what I care about? Am I wrong for believing what I'm believing? Because Satan wants to get you to doubt in Christ's love so that you could increase the apistia, which is the negative thoughts based off circumstances, and decrease your pistis, which is what we see in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God, which is your response to believing that God is the source. So if I wish I had a whiteboard, I could draw this out for you. So pistio is God is the source. And when I respond properly to pistio, I'm walking in pistis. That's where we get our word faith from. So faith is just simply, I believe God loves me enough that I'm going to obey what he's saying. I'm going to hear what he says. I'm going to obey what he says. But if Satan can throw enough darts at us, he can get us to stop living in pistis and start being governed by apistia. Can you imagine the decisions you make when you're questioning whether or not God loves me? Can you imagine the feelings that you experience when you're asking, does God love me in this? Do you know what you're going to let go of when you're questioning? I don't know if God really wants this for my life. But there's seven areas where you can expect adversity that will try to push you away from being together in God's love. Let's go back to Romans 8:35, and I want to show you those seven areas. Make sure you write these notes down. And this week, I've also made sure that these notes are in the YouVersion Bible app. There's a link inside of our captions. There's a link in the online campus for you to get this. So if you know where he's going to attack you, when your mind tries to go there, you do what Paul says by casting down any imagination and everything that tries to exalt itself or lift itself in value above what the Word of God says. So I'm going to give you, this is your first guide to what to do when your faith is shaken and you're experiencing doubt. Romans 8 and 35, part B. It says, does it mean he, meaning God, no longer loves us? Watch this, because we feel this way if we have trouble or the word is rendered tribulation, which is simply pressure. There's internal and external pressure. Trouble also means Christian suffering. And Christian suffering deals with our flesh. Our flesh wants to retaliate. Our flesh wants to act out. It says, or calamity. Another word for calamity is distress. And that means that when I'm under stress or when I'm under pressure, depressed, does God not love me? And when it talks about annoyances, which is another word for calamity, that come with being in a tight spot. It says, does God no longer love me when I'm persecuted? And persecution is injustice for doing the right thing. Suffering and injustice for doing the right thing. Does it mean God no longer loves me when I'm hungry? Another word for that is famine. When there's setbacks, when there are cutbacks, when there are massive layoffs, does it mean that God no longer loves me? He also goes on to say, when we're facing danger, another word for danger, or rather destitute, is nakedness, or it's a season of vulnerability. Sometimes some of the strongest people walk through moments of vulnerability where you've never had to depend on anyone else, but you find yourself in a season asking for help. Does it mean God no longer loves you? That's not what it's saying. Perilous times that we're living in, or the sword. We're in some places of the, or threatened with death or the sword. We're in some places in the world today. Christians are being threatened to be put to death based off of what they believe. Does that mean when people who are standing up for what they believe are martyred, that God no longer loves them? It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We have overwhelming victory because it's ours through Christ who loved us. The Lord will carry you even in the times that you have doubt. And your testimony can be as it is in Romans chapter 8 and 38 at the end of it all, where we can say, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor any. Church, can I pray with you today? There may be those who are experiencing just questions in their faith, may experiencing real doubts in their life. But I want to let you know that the love of God is here to remind you to hold on in the midst of the various attacks to your trust in His love. Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, you are wonderful. You are awesome. You are so gracious. God, I'm asking just for your goodness to be shown in the lives of every person under the sound of my voice. Father, as we open this series of what to do when our faith is shaken and we have real doubts, I'm asking you, Lord, to be real, to show up on our behalf as we receive what you've given us, but not only receive it, but we begin to walk in it. May your power shine around us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.